I want to invite you to turn to Mark chapter 14, and while you're turning there, we're so thankful for those who were able to come in and help a little bit with the flower beds and get things cleaned up here. The ground's looking beautiful, and I'm also glad that we didn't plant much in the way of flowers because I think it all would have died last night when it froze. So hopefully the weather will warm up soon here, and we're looking forward to that. I don't know if I'm ever going to get used to preaching in sunglasses, but that was the only option today to actually be able to read my Bible, so I trust you'll bear with me. But to Mark chapter 14 this morning, I want to read the first 9 verses of this chapter here in the Gospel of Mark, and I want to speak to you for a little bit about the sacrifice of Mary and what Jesus said about her, "She hath done what she could." The Bible there in Mark 14, verse number 1 says, "After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Now the scene in Mark chapter 14 takes place in the little village of Bethany just outside of Jerusalem. And this is just a couple of days before Jesus would make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and the crowds would laud and praise him, and then shortly after that would change their opinion and would cry out for him to be crucified. This also is taking place just after the resurrection of Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, from the dead, just right after that. And, of course, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were from the village of Bethany. And as we look here in Mark chapter 14, this meal takes place at the house of a man whose name was Simon, and evidently Simon had been a leper whom the Lord Jesus had healed, and he had some sort of a close connection with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Now we know that Lazarus also was present at this meal, the one who had been raised from the dead. We're told that in the Gospel of John, and we're also told that Martha, the sister of Mary, was the one who was serving the meal. Now what we know about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus is that they were very precious friends and devoted followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mary, in particular, who is in view this morning here in Mark chapter 14, had a particular love and devotion for the Lord Jesus. And every time that we find her mentioned in the Gospels, we find her at the feet of Jesus worshiping him. For instance, you may remember the time when she was sitting at the feet of Jesus and her sister Martha was a little bit upset with her, because Martha felt like Mary was neglecting her responsibilities and her duties. But Jesus said about Mary that she had chosen the better part. Even during the incident where Lazarus had died and Jesus came just before he raised Lazarus from the dead, we find Mary at the feet of Jesus worshiping him and praising him in spite of the fact that her heart was grieving and very sorrowful. Now, as we see here, in Mark chapter 14, once again, we find Mary at the feet of Jesus, and she's worshiping the Lord Jesus. And we're going to see in the text that what she does is misunderstood and is criticized. And yet we find Mary being steadfast in her worship, and we find her being commended by the Lord Jesus in glowing and appreciative terms because of her faithfulness in worship. Now, you'll note there in Mark chapter 14 in our text that all of this is done in the context of the chief priests and the scribes conspiring to take the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps Mary and Martha and Lazarus had some sort of an inkling of the sentiment among the religious leaders against the Lord Jesus, or perhaps they completely were ignorant of it. It's hard to say. But whatever the case, we know that Mary came to this feast. And in these first couple of verses, there is a description of the cost of the sacrifice that she made. Especially in verse number 3, it says, "There came a woman," and we find in the other Gospels that this was Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. "There came this woman, and she had an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious." And we find that this particular sacrifice that Mary made was a very expensive sacrifice. The scripture tells us here that it was a special kind of an ointment that was called spikenard. And the phrase that is used there in verse number 3 to tell us about the value of this ointment is that it was very precious. That means it was very rare. It was something that was very unusual, and it was something that was extremely costly. Down in verse number 5, when those who were criticizing her were looking at the value of this ointment, they mentioned that it could have been sold for more than 300 pennies, a penny being a day's wage for a normal laboring man. Therefore, the cost of this ointment was somewhere around a year's salary for a common laboring man. If you think about that in the terms of modern dollars, and you think about an ointment that could be worth $30,000 or $40,000, and Mary comes, and she's going to break open this box, and she's going to pour this over the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spikenard, which is referred to here as the sacrifice that Mary made, was one of the most expensive oils of that time, and it must have certainly been one of Mary's most precious possessions. Could you imagine possessing something in your home that was worth the equivalent of a year's labor? Could you imagine how you would protect it and how you would care for it and how you would treasure it? And that would give you a good idea of what this box of ointment meant to Mary. It was a very expensive sacrifice. She was bringing something that was very precious to her. Now, you might be tempted to say, well, Mary, she must have been very, very wealthy. It's unlikely that she was extremely wealthy. It is very likely that this cost her dearly when she made this sacrifice to worship the Lord. But not only was it an expensive sacrifice, we also find that it was a public sacrifice. And you see here in our text in Mark 14 that when Mary came to give this sacrifice, this offering to the Lord, she came in front of everyone. It was a very public type of a sacrifice, and she was offering this to the Lord right in front of everyone else. Now, I want to point out that usually the anointing of the head and the feet was something that a servant in the household would do. But in this case, Mary wanted to have the privilege of anointing the head of the Lord Jesus Christ herself. She seems to have been at least associated with those who were the head of this house, some sort of a close relationship with Simon. But Mary was not about to let this be delegated to a servant in the household. Mary herself wanted to have the privilege of giving this sacrifice to the Lord. You know, it's one thing to have someone else give something and you get a little credit for it. It's another thing if you are making that sacrifice yourself, and in this case, Mary was doing so very publicly. We're going to find in just a moment that this brought a tremendous measure of criticism and some difficulty for Mary because of what other people thought about it, but Mary was not embarrassed to show her devotion to the Lord. I hope this morning that you're not embarrassed to be an out-and-out disciple and follower of Jesus Christ. May it be said of us that we are eager for others to know of our desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not be afraid of this. This was a public sacrifice done in front of everyone, and everyone would know that Mary had a sincere desire to worship the Lord. Now, the third thing that I want you to see about Mary's sacrifice is this was an extravagant sacrifice. No one would have faulted Mary if she had used just a little bit of this ointment to anoint the Lord Jesus, because the fragrance would be very strong. We're told by some Bible commentators that spikenard, this particular oil, was something that would be used by kings and other people of nobility, and they would use one drop at a time because of its rarity and because of its great value. But Mary is going to take the entire box of spikenard, and she's going to break it, and she's going to pour it over the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think about that picture of this oil, as it is broken over the head of the Lord Jesus, as it is poured over his head, and as it drips off of his beard and his hair, you think about the fact that there would be no reclaiming of this oil. Once it was poured out, once it was spilled out, this oil could not be brought back. Everything in the box was going to be used all at once in a very extravagant, dramatic gesture of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to consider for a moment the cost. What it must have meant to Mary as she brought this sacrifice and she broke this box and she allowed that oil to anoint the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you might ask, why? Why would Mary make such an extravagant sacrifice? And certainly, there were those, as we'll see in a moment, who criticized her for her choice. But I want to point out to you that Mary had just seen the Lord Jesus Christ raise her beloved brother Lazarus from the dead. She had just seen Lazarus come out from the tomb alive, and now that same Lazarus is sitting at the table there celebrating at this dinner with them. I rather think that the reason for this meal was a celebration that Lazarus was alive and a thanksgiving to the Lord Jesus for all that he had done for Lazarus. And Mary is wanting to show her incredible devotion and her love for the Lord Jesus. And so she brings this oil and she breaks it over the Lord's head, and she allows that oil to be poured out, never to be reclaimed. Imagine all of that cost, all of the fragrance. Imagine Mary as she's making this offering, no doubt with tears of thanksgiving. And consider with me for a moment the cost of Mary's sacrifice. This was not a tithe. This was an offering that went above and beyond what anyone would be asked of. And Mary was giving everything that she could possibly give to show the Lord how much she loved him. So there's the cost of Mary's sacrifice. But then we find in verse 4 and verse 5 the criticism of Mary's sacrifice. Mary had done this, and in verse number 4, the Bible tells us there were some that had indignation within themselves. Now, that idea of indignation is a strong word. It means that they were very agitated within themselves. They were upset about what Mary had done. Now, I want to pause for just a moment and ask you, what did it matter to them? It wasn't theirs to give or to say what should be done with it, but they felt like they needed to have a say in what Mary was doing with her oil. Wherever there is someone who wants to give of themselves for the Lord, there will always be those who will criticize what is done. There will always be those who will have an opinion, and they'll be quick to say, it ought not to have been done that way. Shouldn't have given that much. You know, they should have tempered their enthusiasm. They got a little carried away. They shouldn't have been so sacrificial. Think of the waste and how much could have been conserved and given later if they had only preserved some. Just think of the interest on the oil and what could have been earned. The oil might have been more valuable after a while. And if Mary had thought about that, she could have given more. They had indignation within themselves. Lately, our family and our family devotion time in the mornings have been reading through a volume of This Day in Baptist History. And as we've been reading through that volume, This Day in Baptist History, we've been learning something about the sacrifices of early pioneers who went to the mission field preaching the gospel. And I've marveled at it. I've thought about the cost that many of those folks have paid. For instance, a couple of days ago, we read about a missionary couple that went to the field of what we now know as Myanmar, the field of Burma. And they arrived and had only been there for a few weeks when the wife of the missionary became very ill. And then she was taken with sickness. And then you read about all of the hardship and the difficulty. In some cases, we read about those who went and they went intending to serve the Lord with their entire life. And within a matter of weeks, they had gotten some disease and died on the foreign mission field. And I was tempted to think as I was reading those stories, what a shame. What a tragedy that they gave so much and yet they were not able to give their lives and to even serve. They never had a chance to learn the language. They never had a chance to figure out exactly what God was going to use them for. And we might be tempted to think, what an extravagant sacrifice. Did they really think through what they were doing? We might be tempted to think they shouldn't have done that. And yet, our thinking would be wrong. We know that the Lord had some purpose in that. Oftentimes, those people became an inspiration to others who would later go to fill their shoes and to preach the gospel in those same places. Now, this criticism of Mary's sacrifice here in verses 4 and 5 is very interesting. They said this, the question was asked in verse 4, why was this waste of the ointment made? And so think for a moment about how they were considering this and how they thought about it. They thought that it would be a waste, that it was a waste that something was poured out upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. They thought, it seems like such a wasteful thing to just take that oil and pour it on Jesus' head. Couldn't they have done something more wise with it? Couldn't they have used it in a better manner? Now, it's not specified specifically here in Mark chapter 14, but in the other Gospels, we find out that the main culprit in this criticism was one of those who claimed to be a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ. His name was Judas Iscariot. And the Bible tells us that the reason that he had this criticism that was lodged against Mary was because he was a thief and he carried the bag. And all he was thinking about was if she had only sold that ointment and given it as an offering, now he made it sound nice, we could have given it to the poor and we could have taken care of people's needs. But his thought was, I could have pilfered some from the bag. I could have gotten some money for myself. I could have padded my nest egg a little bit more with the things that I was stealing. So he was looking at this, but it was with a selfish agenda. Judas was indignant because he wanted something out of this oil for himself, and he was upset that everything went to Jesus. You know, this happens a lot because many people get upset when something is given to the Lord, and the reason they're upset is because they were expecting some benefit from that for themselves. They were hoping for something from that for themselves. For instance, parents who get indignant because their children decide to serve the Lord. And the reason that they're indignant is, well, what about me? How are you going to pay attention to me? How are you going to take care of me? How are you going to meet my needs if you're serving the Lord? And what a tragedy that is. But it's really just selfishness. And we could point out many other instances of how people become indignant at the sacrifice that other people make because they were intending to get something from that for themselves. Now, of course, Judas and the others who were taken along with this criticism made it sound so spiritual when they said it could have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. But I want you to see this in verse 5. They murmured against her. So they were muttering and whispering against her. They were making comments against her because they were so upset that Mary would sacrifice in this way to give to the Lord. Their criticism was made to sound good. It was made in such a way that it sounded spiritual. It sounded like they're thinking progressively and spiritually, hey, we could have done so much more with this, Mary, if you hadn't just poured it out on Jesus' head. Mary, you shouldn't have been so extravagant. Mary, you shouldn't have sacrificed in the way that you did. Mary, you shouldn't have given quite so much. You know, there's many people today who think that any kind of sacrifice that is made for the Lord is nothing but a waste. If they find out, for instance, that you're giving to missions and giving a tithe or an offering, they say, oh, you know, all those churches want is money. Now, they never talk about how all that Walmart wants is money. They never talk about how all they want down at the ballpark is money. But all they can see is, oh, all those churches want is money. You know, when people criticize like that, it's because they don't understand the heart of worship that is behind the one who is giving. They don't understand. And so they become critical. They say, oh, it's just a waste. Now, sometimes these critics of sacrifice are well-intentioned. Sometimes they're thinking practically. Can I say something, and I hope you'll understand exactly what I'm saying? Sometimes what God asks us to do is not practical at all. It doesn't make worldly sense. It doesn't add up like 1 plus 1 equals 2. It doesn't jive with common understanding. And that's why sometimes we have a problem with what God is asking, because we say, practically speaking, this doesn't seem to add up. But you know, when you think about these kind of critics, sometimes they're just thinking practically, oh, you should have done it this way, you should have done it that way. But sometimes these critics are very envious of any love or worship that is going to the Lord Jesus and not to themselves. And I want you to understand this morning that you will definitely be criticized if you decide that you are going to sacrifice for the Lord. If you decide that you're going to be a worshiper of God, there is no doubt that there will be people who will not understand. You need to prepare yourself for that. You need to prepare yourself for the fact that some of your family is not going to comprehend what you're doing. They're not going to comprehend the choices that you're making or why you're giving what you're giving. They're going to maybe even feel hurt, because they're going to feel as if the Lord has taken a higher place in your life than they have taken, and they're going to have a difficulty with that. You can be sure that criticism will come, and you have to prepare yourself for that criticism. So she came and she gave a very extravagant, costly sacrifice. But now I want you to notice, third of all, in our text, that there was a commendation of Mary's sacrifice. And Jesus evidently picked up on the spirit of envy that had lodged in the hearts of these people. And Jesus addressed it because evidently he felt that it was important that it would be addressed. And notice the plain words which Jesus spoke to these who were gathered together for this meal in verse number 6. Jesus said to them, "Let her alone." In other words, be quiet. You have nothing to say. Please do not say any more. Let her alone. Leave her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. This criticism of Mary, if you'll note in Jesus' wording in verse 6, was causing her to be troubled. It was causing an agitation in her heart. Maybe Mary was asking herself the question, should I have been less extravagant? Should I have been more careful? Maybe I should not have given so much. Maybe I should have been more careful with my resources. Maybe, in fact, I should have given less, and then I could have given more to, like they said, to those who were poor. Did I do the right thing? Should I have been less extravagant? You know, there's never been a time when I sacrificed in some way for the work of the Lord, but that I didn't ask myself along the way, did I do the right thing? Did I make the right decision? Is that what the Lord wanted? And she was becoming troubled. And Jesus said to those who are around, why are you troubling her? Why are you causing her heart to be agitated? Leave her alone. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that when Mary came bringing this alabaster box of ointment, that she was convinced that this was God's will, that this was exactly what God wanted her to do. There's no doubt in my mind that she was overwhelmed with gratitude to the Lord Jesus for all that he had done for her and for what he meant to her, and that she was completely convinced that what she had done or what she was getting ready to do was the right thing, but now she is asking herself, have I gone too far? Have I given too much? Have I sacrificed too much to show my devotion to the Lord Jesus? Even earlier, not that far earlier, her own sister had criticized her worship of Jesus as being too much and had accused her of neglecting her household duties. And Martha had even come to Jesus and said, Jesus, why don't you reason with my sister and tell her that she needs to do this differently? She needs to be helping me. She shouldn't be sitting at your feet. And of course, Jesus rebuked Martha. But no doubt, Mary was a little bit troubled by all of this. But Jesus wanted to comfort her, and he wanted her to understand, Mary, you did the right thing. And he said in verse number 6, she hath wrought a good work on me. Now that word wrought that is found in our New Testament text is very interesting. It literally means to make a gain by trading. Like someone might trade in the stock market and buy a stock and sell it later to make some extra money. That is exactly the idea of this word wrought. And Jesus said that when Mary had poured that oil over the head of the Lord Jesus Christ, that she had wrought a good work. She had made a gain. She had done something that Jesus was commending. And you say, how could this be a good work that she had wrought? How could she have made a gain? I mean, she lost it all. She poured the oil out. She couldn't reclaim it. There was no opportunity for her to get that back in the box. The oil was gone to her forever. So what did she gain? I want you to think about this for a moment. Mary had traded her expensive ointment for an opportunity to lavish love and worship on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the oil was gone, and it seemed like it had been frivolously wasted. But Jesus said that she had made a great gain. Let me make this point. Anytime that we have the opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth, no matter what it costs us, we have made a great gain. We have enjoyed a tremendous benefit. What a privilege it is to be able to be worshipers of Jesus Christ. Many people don't understand this motivation in the heart of a believer, but that's because they don't understand what Jesus has done for us. Mary comes with this ointment, and she's praising God. She's praising the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says this about Mary, she didn't lose anything, she gained something. We tend to look through the physical eyes, and we don't see the spiritual benefit. Now, Jesus also said something very interesting in verse number 8, when he said, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Some believe that perhaps Mary understood all that was going on. I rather think that Mary, like others who followed Jesus at this time, did not completely comprehend what was about to happen. Did not comprehend that in just a matter of days, Jesus would be falsely accused, he would be crucified on a Roman cross, and he would physically die. I don't think that Mary completely understood that just a few days later, there would be a need to bury the body of Jesus in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. I don't think that Mary fully comprehended that just a couple days after that Jesus was going to raise from the dead. She knew that he was the Messiah, but I don't think she had full understanding of all that Jesus was going to accomplish. But here she is, as she is giving this offering, as she is anointing Jesus with this oil, Jesus said that this was a prophetic picture of the coming burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was participating in something that God was doing by giving this offering. Sometimes we don't understand, why does God want me to sacrifice in this way? We don't see the immediate result. We don't see all that is entailed in that. But in this case, God certainly had a purpose. There's no doubt that this was the will of God, and God allowed Mary to participate in the great story of redemption by giving this tremendous picture of the fact that Jesus would soon be buried and his body would need to be anointed. God was saying that what Mary had done was so important that God would use it to amplify the message of the gospel. In fact, Jesus said this in verse 9, "Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Think with me for a moment about what Jesus is saying. Isn't it interesting that today, in 2020, we're talking about this lavish, extravagant sacrifice that Mary made, which became a picture of the gospel? And as we think about the gospel, which binds us together and which draws us here to this place today, we're reminded of the fact that Mary made this sacrifice. Over 2,000 years later, we're still talking about this precious woman and all that she gave to show Jesus her extravagant love and her care for him. Just like Jesus said, everywhere that the gospel is preached, people talk about Mary and how she worshiped Jesus with the oil that she brought. Now, as we think about the sacrifice that Mary made, the question might well come to your mind, why is her sacrifice so important? Why is it that what she gave is so significant when those who were there on that day could only see what to them seemed like waste, seemed like an extravagant sacrifice that should not have been made? Why did Jesus point out that this sacrifice was in fact important? Well, the reason is because this sacrifice that she made points to a greater and more significant sacrifice. You see, the sacrifice that Mary made, though it was great, by any method of comparison that we could use, she gave a lot. But it pales in comparison to the sacrifice which it was picturing. And that sacrifice is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins and mine. When I think about our Savior, and I think about the cost of my salvation, I'm reminded that when Jesus came, the sacrifice that He made was so extravagant, so costly, that the very God of heaven, the Creator of all that is, became flesh, came to this earth, allowed himself to be abused and misused by his own creation, and gave of his own life blood on the cross for your sins and mine. Think about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for your sins and mine. Think about that sacrifice that was lavished on us, that extravagant, costly sacrifice that God the Son made so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins and reconciled to God. Yes, Mary's sacrifice was great, but the sacrifice that Jesus would make, so much greater. And today, as we think about the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and I, and the reason that we have to gather here together today, ought it not to be said of us that we should worship the Lord and praise Him and thank Him for our salvation? Such a great salvation. Such a costly salvation. And ought we not to, at the cost of our salvation, tremble and worship and thank our blessed Savior for all that He gave for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, what a Savior. You see, the true story in Mark chapter 14 is not the sacrifice that Mary made, although it draws our attention, and Jesus certainly drew the attention of those who are around to that sacrifice, but that's not the real story. The real story is of one who is worthy of receiving that sacrifice, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The real story is of the sacrifice that Jesus would make in just a short time after this, for the sins of the world. You know, this morning, sometimes you and I feel as if there's nothing that we can do for the Lord. Sometimes we think, what can I do to worship the Lord? How can I honor Him? How can I praise Him? How can I serve Him? Some of you, this is Mother's Day. Some of you moms feel like, well, here I am in the house with my children, caring for their needs. Many of you school your children at home. You cook and you take care of the home and you take care of the needs of your husband. You say, how can I serve the Lord? Did you ever think for a moment that first of all, by doing what you're doing, you're serving the Lord? But did you ever think also about the great privilege that God gives you right in the place where you are to be a worshiper, to praise Him, to magnify Him, to worship Him? What Mary was doing in Mark chapter 14 is she was worshiping the Lord. Now, worship to you might seem like a small thing. It might seem like a small thing to worship the Lord, to bow before His presence, but I want you to know that it is always appropriate for you to worship the Lord. And it is always something that the Lord is interested in receiving from you. It is always something that you can give to the Lord. And many times this is going to cost you some time. It'll cost you some energy. It'll cost you some effort. But worship is something that is always the will of God, and it is always something that God is wanting to receive from us. This morning, think about this. You and I, as human beings, were created by God for worship. We were created to give glory and honor to the name of our precious Savior. This morning, you say, I don't have much to give. Give of yourself. That sacrifice of praise, of worship and thanksgiving to God. And this morning, I want to challenge you with this thought of taking some time to worship the Lord, to magnify His worthy name. I hope that today you'll be ready to give whatever it is that the Lord asks of you. But you know, some of you who are here, you think about the sacrifice that Jesus made in your place on the cross, but you've never taken the step personally to make that sacrifice yours. You've never taken the opportunity to humble yourself, to kneel at the cross of Christ, to confess that you are unable to save yourself, that you've never repented of your dead works and of your good works, your religion, you're trying to please God in your own strength. You've never turned from your sin. You've never put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason is because you feel like that would just be too much of a sacrifice. Like that would just cost you so much. I want to say to you today, though it seems like that would be a great sacrifice to put your life on the altar, to surrender yourself to the Lord, in doing so, there is great gain that you stand to benefit from. There's a great privilege of coming into a place of relationship with God and having your sins forgiven through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I urge you today, dear friend, if you've never taken advantage of the offer that Jesus makes, if you've never had your sins forgiven, would you come to Him in repentance and in faith? Would you put your confidence in Jesus and in Jesus alone? You know, Mary found out that Jesus is worth worshiping. She experienced the life-giving power of God both before this, when her brother Lazarus was raised from the dead, and after this, when she saw the resurrection power of Jesus Christ when He Himself raised from the dead. She found out that Jesus is someone worth following. I say to you today that Jesus is still worth following. Jesus is someone who is worthy of our worship and our praise. And this morning, may it be said of us that we have done what we could, that we have given to God the sacrifice of praise, because indeed our Savior is worthy.